Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building one of those classic jungle and old-school drum and bass percussion layers that gives a track life, grit, and motion without stepping on the main drums. Think of it as the dusty movement bed underneath your kick, snare, and bass. Not the star of the show, but absolutely the thing that makes the whole groove feel alive. We're working in Ableton Live 12, and the goal here is to create a crunchy, layered percussion break with a sampler texture that feels sampled, imperfect, and slightly abused in the best way. By the end, you should have a loop that sounds like it came from a late-night rave cassette, a battered break record, and a hardware sampler, all at once. First thing, set your tempo. For classic jungle and old-school DNB, aim around 174 BPM. If you want it a little heavier or more halftime leaning, you can pull that down a touch, but 174 is a great starting point. Now, before we even touch the samples, remember this: the groove has to breathe. If everything lands perfectly on the grid, it'll feel modern and clean, which is fine if that's the goal, but not if we're chasing that old-school pulse. So we're going to leave some human movement in there. Start by finding a good source break. You want something with character. A break with a strong snare, some hat noise, a bit of room tone, maybe even a little distortion already baked in. Amen-style breaks work beautifully, but any funky live drum loop with a bit of grime can do the job. Drag it into an audio track, and if it already sits in tempo nicely, don't be too quick to warp it into submission. Sometimes the slight drift and looseness are exactly what makes it feel authentic. Here's a good teacher tip. Before slicing, just listen to the break a few times and identify the anchor points. Usually the snare is the anchor in jungle. Build around that. Don't let the percussion fight the snare. Let the snare lead, and let everything else dance around it. Now we're going to slice the break into a drum rack. Right-click the audio clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. For slicing mode, Transient is great if you want detailed control, but 1/8 or 1/16 can also work if you want a more rhythmic, note-based feel. Ableton will create a drum rack with individual slices mapped to pads. At this point, don't try to use every slice. In fact, one of the biggest mistakes is overcrowding the pattern. We want motion, not a wall of drums. Keep the juicy parts, the snare hits, the ghost notes, the hat fragments, the bits of rim noise, the tiny cymbal tails. If there are slices that are too clean or too kick-heavy and they clutter the groove, mute them or leave them out. Then start resequencing the slices into a new rhythm that supports the main beat instead of copying it. A strong approach is to place ghost hits just before the snare, then sprinkle in offbeat hats between the main drum accents. Give it space. The more space you leave, the more the bass line can breathe, and the more the groove can actually swing. This is one of those cases where less really does hit harder. Now we'll build the crunchy sampler texture layer. This is the part that gives the whole thing that dusty, unstable edge. Create a new MIDI track and load a short noisy sample into Simpler or Sampler. That could be a tiny percussion stab, a rim hit, a chopped snare tail, a bit of vinyl noise, or even a weird fragment from the same break. If you're using Simpler, Classic Mode is a solid choice if you want that sample player vibe. You can also use Slice Mode if you want micro-chop style movement. Turn the filter on, and start with a low pass somewhere around 7 to 10 kHz. Add just a touch of resonance if you want a little bite. Then shape the amp envelope so the hit is short and percussive. Fast attack, short decay, little or no sustain, short release. We're not building a melodic sample here. We're building texture. If you use sampler, you get a little more control over the shape and response. You can use filter and velocity mapping to make the sample behave more like a played instrument. A tiny bit of pitch or filter modulation can add life too, as long as you keep it subtle. Subtle is the word here. We want movement, not wobble for the sake of wobble. Now for the fun part, the crunch chain. Put EQ 8 first so you can clean up the mud before you dirty it up. High pass the texture somewhere in the 120 to 250 Hz range, depending on how much low end it's carrying. If there's boxiness in the 250 to 500 Hz area, cut that out. If the hats are painfully sharp, notch a little around 6 to 8 kHz. If it needs a bit more attack, a small boost around 3 to 5 kHz can help. The idea is simple. Make room for the kick, snare, and bass before you start adding grit. Next comes saturator. A little drive goes a long way. Try 2 to 8 dB of drive and turn on soft clip if needed. This thickens the sample and gives it some harmonic weight. If the source is too smooth, use a harder clipping style or push it a bit more. You want it to sound a little abused, but not totally crushed into flatness. After that, drum bus is fantastic for this style. It can add weight, bite, and that slightly overdriven drum machine feel. Use drive and crunch carefully, and keep boom very subtle or off entirely for this layer. For old school jungle texture, crunch is usually more useful than boom, because it roughens the top and mid range without turning the layer into a sub-heavy drum loop. That's the key. This is support, not a second main drum kit. Now add redux if you want that digital lo-fi edge. Don't overdo it. A little downsampling and bit reduction can give you the kind of shredded texture that feels like a hardware sampler getting pushed too far. Put it after saturation if you want the warmth to get broken into something sharper and more granular. If it gets too harsh, blend it more gently or lower the amount. Then use auto filter or roar for movement and tone. Auto filter is brilliant for adding a bandpass, low pass sweeps, or even a slow LFO to make the texture breathe. That can be especially effective in intros and builds. If you want a darker, more aggressive edge, roar can add a modern kind of distortion and coloration that still sits nicely under old school breakwork. Finally, use utility to control width. A good rule is to keep the low mid content more mono, and only widen the noisy top if it helps the stereo image. If the layer starts feeling weak and facey, reduce the width a bit. You want it to support the track, not smear across the stereo field and lose focus. Now let's make the groove feel human. Open your MIDI clip and vary the velocities. Ghost notes should be softer, maybe somewhere around 20 to 60, while accent hits can land much harder, around 80 to 110. Nudge a few notes slightly ahead or behind the grid. Just a little. Even one shifted hit or one removed ghost note can change the personality of the entire phrase. That's an important lesson here. Small edits often matter more than adding more effects. If the pattern feels stiff, don't immediately reach for another plugin. First, check the note placement. Check the velocity. Check the spacing. In jungle, the groove often lives in those tiny imperfections. The break should feel like a performance, not a loop editor exercise. At this point, layer the crunchy percussion with your main drums. Your core beat might already have kick, snare, a main break, sub-bass, maybe a ride or shaker. The new layer should fill the gaps between snares, flicker in the top end, reinforce offbeats, or add tension before a snare lands. It should never feel like it's competing for attention. In fact, if you can clearly hear the texture as a separate loop, it's probably too loud. Pull it down. Often 6 to 12 dB quieter than the main break is a good place to start. Here's another great old-school move. Resample the processed layer. Record 4 to 8 bars of the groove onto a new audio track. Then chop that resampled audio again. Now you're working with something that already sounds like a finished record print. It's less flexible, but that's exactly why it feels more authentic. You can even process the bounce one more time with a light EQ, saturation, or redux pass to get a second generation texture. That often gives you the kind of worn, committed sound that really sells the era. When it comes to arrangement, think in phrases, not just loops. In the intro, strip the texture down and filter it heavily. Let the top end sneak in first, then slowly reveal the body. In the build, open the filter, add a little more saturation, maybe throw in a reverse hit or a small delay accent. At the drop, let the full layer breathe under the break, but don't let it get too dense if the bass line is already busy. Variation every 4 or 8 bars helps a lot. Drop out one hat slice, shift a ghost note, mute the layer for half a bar before the snare, then bring it back in. Those tiny changes keep the listener locked in. A very useful mindset here is to treat the percussion layer like a motion bed, not a drum loop. If you can still sing the pattern after hearing it once, it's probably too busy. Think of the layer in terms of performance, record texture, and room noise. The main break is the performance. The process chops are the record texture. The resampled dust layer is the room and age. That's the hierarchy that gives you depth. If you want to push it further, try building call and response between two percussion layers. One can be busier and brighter, while the other answers only in the gaps with sparse filtered hits. That keeps the rhythm active without turning into a solid wall of noise. You can also create phrase changes every 2 bars instead of repeating a 1-bar loop forever. Add one ghost note here, remove one hat there, open the filter a touch on the next phrase. That style of variation feels much more like sample drum programming and much less like a loop dragged onto the timeline. For a darker version, use bandpass filtering on the texture layer. That can make the percussion feel eerie, distant, and ghostly. You can also stack short noise, rim hits, and tiny cymbal fragments to create a little chatter bed under the groove. If it starts sounding flat, try transient shaping to bring the attack forward and tighten the sustain. And if you want to lean into the broken machine vibe, duplicate the percussion track and crush one copy heavily while keeping the other cleaner. Blend them quietly together. That often sounds bigger and more controlled than smashing one chain too hard. Here's a solid practice exercise. Build a two-bar jungle texture loop using one chopped break in drum rack, one crunchy simpler or sampler layer, and a processing chain with saturation and filtering. Make sure you get at least 8 slices, at least 3 ghost notes, at least 1 filter automation move, and at least 1 resampled bounce. Then make 3 versions. One clean for the intro, one main drop support version, and one heavier fill version. When you compare them in context with a sub and snare, you'll hear just how much the percussion layer changes the track's energy.